welcome this evening. I think my voice has gotten worse in the past 5 or 10 minutes. Maybe it was the singing that did it. It was going to be a short sermon anyway, but it may be even shorter now. Of course, this is the fifth Sunday of the month, and we have our congregational meeting at the end of our service. So there will be a short service. We'll do the other things that we normally do. But before the closing prayer, we'll then have the congregational meeting. There's a story about a smug tourist who stepped out onto the sidewalk after going through one of Europe's greatest art galleries. Loudly, he boasted to the doorman, "Well, I don't see what's so great about all those pictures." The doorman answered politely but pointedly, "But sir, don't you wish you could see what's great about them?" You know, sometimes the offhanded comments that we make say more about us than they do about the things that we pass judgment upon. Standing in the presence of greatness, we often lack the experience and the discernment to appreciate what's before us. And when we give out our ill-considered evaluation, we frequently find ourselves being judged. We thought we were judging, but we find that we were the ones that were judged. You know, in the past, the quality of gold or silver samples were determined by the use of a touchstone, a hard black stone such as jasper or basalt. The sample was rubbed against the touchstone, and the resultant streak was compared to make the standard was compared to that made by a standard alloy that was determined the quality of the sample. The sample's encounter with the touchstone said nothing about the touchstone because its qualities were well known, but it said a great deal about the sample. And so it is with some of the most significant things in life. You know, they evaluate us by our reaction to them. What we truly are is made clear by our contact with these things. We may call them touchstones. You know, one of them, there are probably several that we could mention, but one is adversity. We might say that adversity is a touchstone because how we respond to adversity says a lot about our faith. It says a lot about who we are. Look at what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. He says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Tested by fire. You know, gold was tested. The purity of the gold was tested as it would go through the crucible, the fire, be melted down, and determine whether or not it was pure or not. Well, our faith is tested. The genuineness of our faith is tested as we touch this touchstone, that is, adversity, the trials of life, the fires of life that we go through. And how we respond says a lot about us. It says a lot about our faith. We may begin to judge others because of our adversity. Judge others because of them bringing that adversity to our life. But in reality, how we're responding says a lot about us. And so our purpose here is to think in terms of, all right, as I face these things in life, my response says a lot about me, areas in which maybe I need to change. And as I face adversity, and I maybe come to realize my faith in God was not as strong as it ought to be. And so it is a good thing for me to see that. And to help me to realize I need to do some changing in order to make sure that my faith is genuine, that it is strong. And not only does it test my faith, it strengthens my faith. And it's so that I go through these to test my faith and to strengthen it, so that, as Peter says here, I may be found, that it may be found, our faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when I stand before Christ, when he comes, how will my faith be seen? Will it be to praise, honor, and glory? Will it be approved? And how I respond to adversity now will determine that. Also, another touchstone is truth. Truth is a touchstone. You can tell a lot about a person by the way he reacts when confronted with the truth. What a person does when he stands face to face with truth says volumes about his character and the kind of human being he has chosen to be. Here's a person who has chest pains, shortness of breath, after walking just a short distance. And someone says to him, "You need to go to the doctor. You may have some blockage." And he says, "Oh, no, I don't need that." That's not a truth that he wants to accept. It's not something that he is willing to deal with at the moment. As a matter of fact, it's very unpleasant to face up to that truth. But he may have a heart attack and die. And so how a person faces to certain truths says a lot about what's important to him and what he's willing to do in order to do the right thing. For example, here's a person who has an anger problem. And someone says, "You know, you need to get a handle on that. You need to control your temper better." He says, "Oh, I don't have a temper problem." Well, in his mind, he hasn't killed anybody. You know, he hadn't walloped somebody in the face. In his mind, he doesn't have an anger problem. But others see it, but he's not willing to see it himself. And is not willing to make the changes because that's unpleasant. That's hard to do. You know, God's word is truth. John 17, verse 17, Jesus says, "Sanctify them by your truth, your word. By your truth, your word is truth." And in John 16, verse 13, he told the apostles that the Spirit of truth would come and guide them into all truth. And what the Spirit guided them into were the words of God. That's the truth. And truth is essential to our salvation. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we know the freedom that he's talking about in this context is freedom from the bondage of sin, being saved from sin. And so one thing that is absolutely indispensable to the salvation of our souls is truth. You know, whatever this truth may cost, time, money, lands, houses, physical suffering, it is worth it. It's worth the price, and once obtained, it must not be sold for any sum. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." And so it matters little what we think, feel, imagine, suppose, or would like to believe. The truth is what matters when it comes to being saved. To disregard, neglect, and deny truth, the Word of God, is to dispense with the indispensable. So how do I react to God's truth, his word? It says a lot about what's important to me. It says a lot about my faith. It says a lot about whether or not I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, whether or not the Bible is the Word of God. And so it is a judgment, a reflection upon me. It is evaluating what's in my heart and how I respond to truth. Now, knowing that truth is important, I can then choose to have the right attitude toward it or not. I can choose to love it. And that's truly what we would do when we understand it is the truth that will save. I am going to desire it. I'm going to love it. You remember Paul says to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 10. He says, "When he comes in that day to be glorified in the saints, and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among them was believed." I'm sorry, I'm in chapter 1, chapter 2. He says, "And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Why were these people perishing? is because they did not receive the love of the truth. They choose not to love truth and therefore to reject that truth. You know, the most telling events in life occur when we are faced with truth that is unpleasant. How do we respond to truth that has some hard consequences? Do I accept them? Do I then determine to do what is right? Or do we rationalize, shift the blame, dodge the issue, and say, I don't think I need to do that? It's easy for us to deceive ourselves, as Eve did, into thinking that error is truth, because that's what I want to believe, because that's what's easier for me. But that will not save me. That will not bring me in right relationship with the Lord. You see, each time I confront truth, it tests me. It shows me whether I really love the truth, how I respond to that truth that is given. And if we mean what we say when we claim that we do love the truth, we will welcome these tests, knowing that the final reward of truth is far greater than the short-term ease that comes from denial and defensiveness. Yes, easy to reject it, to do what I want. It is unpleasant and hard to accept it and make the changes that we need to make. But we understand that's essential. Truth is indispensable. We cannot be saved without it. And so this is a daily responsibility that each one of us has. It's not just weekly or monthly, it's daily, maybe even hourly. And where I have to check myself as I deal with various circumstances in life, and I have to make decisions, and especially when someone comes to me and says, Leanne, I think you've got a problem here, or I think this is something you need to think about. Well, that's a good thing. I need, because I love truth, if they can help me to see that I am deceiving myself, or I am not seeing what they see, which is the truth, then it's a good thing for me to acknowledge that, to see it, to evaluate myself, and make the changes that needs to be made. These are things I have to be reminded of, and so I remind you of these, not that you don't already know them, but to bring these things to our minds so that as we live our life, the remainder of this week, that we will make good decisions, that we'll confront truth, seek for truth, and confront it in the proper way, and have the kind of faith that the Lord wants us to have. There may be some here tonight who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord. If there are any, we want to encourage you to make the decision to give your life to Jesus, to render obedience to His gospel, that you might be saved. And if there are any who need to come, please come as we stand and sing.